from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
What a night for the Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, I think there's really only one way to say this and only one way, to describe this. The brand of Georgia football just got a whole lot bigger. And we've been sort of dealing with that and seeing that growth over the course of at least the last 12 months. You know, when you play in the college football playoff, when you win the Rose Bowl, when you have, you know, 40-plus thousand people make the trip to South Bend, Indiana, when you're kind of all over the national television scene the way that Georgia was, and you can go look at the TV ratings for yourself, there was, long list of the highest rated games in all of college football for 2017. Georgia involved in a lot of those, and a lot of that culminates last night with what was a huge night for the Dogs in the NFL draft. Record setting for the program with three first round picks, and I want to sort of do my part to kind of congratulate all three of these guys. Let me start with the first name on the list to be called by Commissioner Roger Goodell, celebrating the fact that the Butkus Award winner has now found his NFL home.
With the eighth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Roquan Smith, linebacker, Georgia.
I thought it was kind of ironic, actually, that Smith ends up in Chicago, given the fact that that's, as we said a moment ago, where so many Georgia fans spent a weekend back in September. No doubt the folks in Chicago are probably overwhelmed by the red and black that they saw there that weekend leading up to the Notre Dame game. But I guess now when they see the red and black that Roquan Smith's wearing, it'll jog their memory back to that time, and maybe they even saw that game that night and Roquan Smith kind of all over everywhere. And when you sort of think about what the Chicago Bears may have seen themselves in Roquan Smith, why it was that they wanted to make him, really, you don't see a lot of interior linebackers like that go in the top 10 of the draft. There's obviously a lot to like about Smith, and if you want the best description for maybe what the Bears saw in him, I thought Kirby Smart himself gave that after the Georgia Tech game, really describing why it was that Smith would eventually become one of the highest players drafted at any position for 2018.
Machine. I mean, he is a tackling machine. What he did today, and I can't say because I didn't watch the tape, but what I feel like was what I saw all week in practice. I mean, the guy's sideline to sideline, relentless, athletic, tough, competitive, leads, talks when people need talking to, quiet when it needs to be quiet. I mean, he's has impeccable character and just proud of the way he works and buys into what we believe.
I mean, how could you not want that on your NFL team, no matter, what NFL team it is? I mean, I think back to Dog Nation Appreciation in March when Roquan was there and the other guys were there, and they were kind of joking about the fact that, Kirby Smart never yelled at Roquan during practice. And obviously, the way the players describe it almost makes it seem like, oh, well, Roquan was sort of like the teacher's pet for the Georgia coaching staff. But the truth is, and I think even, Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, and those other guys would admit this, there is a part of Roquan Smith that didn't get yelled at because he didn't do anything to make himself get yelled at. He played with relentless energy on the field, sideline to sideline. As Kirby Smart said, he was a great leader, and everything just sort of fell into place for him in 2017 as that sort of perfect linebacker specimen. And I'd be shocked if he doesn't go on to have a great career in the NFL, and I'm really excited for him to be a part of the Chicago Bears. Jeff Sintel, who, by the way, will join us a little bit later on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, had a great line about this on Twitter last night, that it kind of comes full circle, that the Butkus Award winner, Roquan Smith, will now play in Chicago, which was the NFL home of the legendary Dick Butkus, who the award that Roquan won is named after. That's a nice thought from Jeff, and kind of excited about seeing Roquan in that sort of legendary Bears uniform. Of course, a lot of old-time Georgia fans will also remember, Chicago being the home, I guess, also of Charlie Trippi when he left, Georgia to go to the NFL. So that also kind of comes full circle there, I guess, a bit as well. But Roquan would not be the only name called in the first round of the NFL draft with a Georgia G next to his name. A few minutes later on the first round, Roger Goodell stepped back to the podium and he said this.
With the 23rd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
As they pointed out on the NFL Network last night, kind of interesting that Goodell says tackle there instead of guard, because I think most of us assume that guard is the position that, that Wynn will play. I guess there is some thought, and I was reading this online a little bit early this morning, that, that maybe the Patriots give him a shot at tackle before they move him over to guard. Maybe he sort of thought it's a bit more of a sure thing at guard. Maybe the experiment at tackle, just to see if you could get that maximum value out of him, and he might be able to do at the NFL level what he did for Georgia on a high-level offensive line for 2017. But one way or another, the Patriots, one of the heritage franchises now in the NFL, one of the top coaching staffs, one of the most successful organizations. It seems like that Isaiah Wynn is set up for success by being there in New England. And credit here for a moment, because well before we started seeing Wynn's name pop up in a lot of these mock drafts in the first round over and over, you can go back to a couple of months ago here on Dog Nation Daily, where Chip Towers, who obviously does a great job covering the Dogs for Dog Nation, was saying, he already was sort of thinking there was some buzz growing about Wynn maybe landing in the first round. So credit to Chip Towers for this prediction.
Now, Isaiah Wynn, I'm not sure we fully appreciate the job that he did at left tackle. I think he's going to have the last laugh in this NFL draft. When I'm starting to dig into some of these projections, he may, go pretty early as a guard on the next level, and he played terrific.
And I love that phrasing there from Chip, the idea that it would be the last laugh for Wynn, and one of the reasons why Wynn would even be in a position to laugh here is because, as Kirby Smart has explained, Wynn just does not check off all the boxes from a size standpoint the way you expect dominant offensive linemen to be able to check them off. Especially at the tackle position, he's just not that big. But as Kirby Smart has said, it's that desire, that want to for Isaiah Wynn. Difficult to measure, but obvious when you see it on the field, and that's why Wynn worked his way into the first round of the draft last night. I think that's a huge boom for Georgia here to be able to say that a guy like that, created the kind of career at UGA that leads to those kind of first-round riches. There's no doubt that the program gets a lot of benefit from having a Wynn go in the first round, and I got to tell you, it was awesome to see his name called last night. And not to be outdone by that was one more trip to the podium for the commissioner, one more team, New England once again, and another Georgia Bulldog name called. Here it is.
With the 31st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Sony Michel, running back, Georgia.
And I don't have to tell you, this was a special moment for, I think, those of us who've watched the 4 years of Sony Michel at Georgia, not just the 2017 year when he was part of an SEC championship in a college football playoff, but really all those years at Georgia. Michel leaves behind a great legacy. He was a terrific freshman in 2014. He was the bell cow running back for Georgia in 2015 after Nick Chubb got hurt. And, yes, that season ends up not being as good as a lot of Georgia fans wanted it to be. But, Michel himself is spectacular. He rushed for nearly 1,300 yards that season, and Georgia would have been lost without him. And then in 2016, it was really Michel as a leader in that somewhat forgotten, kind of ugly season that – I do think laid the foundation, the groundwork for the great success that Georgia enjoyed in 2017. So awesome to see his name called as a first-round pick last night. And what makes it sort of extra specially good for us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, is the fact that when Michel joined us on the show a couple of months ago, he allowed himself for a moment back then to think about the possibility of being a first-round pick. Not every mock draft had Michel in the first round to begin with. Over time, though, the opinions on Michel grew in his favor. And even back then, Michel was willing to admit, it would be a great dream to go into the first round. I love this moment for Michel because of quotes like this.
I mean, ultimately, first round would be amazing. I mean, I think that would be anybody's dream, ideal dream, but that's something I try to not focus on. My focus is to do the best that I can do once I get in front of these coaches. And at the end of the day, it's ultimately their decision. They're going to pick the players they feel the need for their teams. And I only can control what I can control.
Only going to control what he can control, but obviously there's a lot in his pathway right now. Once again, to be a part of the New England Patriots, a great roster, a great organization, and I would assume great success coming the way of Sony Michel there. Now with three other former Georgia Bulldogs on that Patriots roster, that becomes a bit of a dilemma for what previously would have been New England haters to see so many dogs showing up there on that organization up there in New England now. But as you all know, this night, not just good for Michel, not just good for Wynn, not just good for Roquan Smith, there's a strong benefit for the Georgia program as well. And when NFL analyst Chase Goodbread joined us on Dog Nation Daily yesterday, I think he explained that about as well as it can be explained.
Today is as big a day for recruiting as the year in terms of being able to generate interest and respect from recruits. And the more of those type of guys you have, the easier it is to get more.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of that pipeline opening it up and becoming a turnstile, to mix metaphors here, for recruits coming into the program, spending their time at UGA, and then cycling right on into the NFL. I don't have to tell you that I watched more NFL draft last night than I have in a long time. It's not always must-see TV for me. I'm a much bigger college fan than I am an NFL fan. But last night I thought the drama was pretty good. To have so much George involvement there was also pretty fun as well. I'm proud of Roquan Smith. I'm proud of Isaiah Wynn, and excited for Sony Michel, the next phase of their football life now as professionals. Thanks to them for 4 great years at the University of Georgia, or in Sony's case, Roquan's case, 3 great years at the University of Georgia. They put this program in a great spot. They're going to go on to great NFL careers. And for Georgia fans, it would certainly seem to be, based on the momentum coming off a night last night, truth to the fact that the best may very well be yet to come. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. We're glad you're with us, and good to have you, no matter how you may be joining us, video-wise, on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter page. We're live there at 10 a.m. on all those various Dog Nation video channels. It was fun this morning to spend a little time on the morning show on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref with Sam Franco and Dave Johnson. Always love being on with them, and I love being on the radio in Athens at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and then the podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, Apple Podcasts, Android devices. We post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. It's there for you on SoundCloud. However you access a Dog Nation Daily, we are just glad that you get to the program here, and we're looking forward to a fun one today. It'll be Jeff Sintel here just a little bit later on. We're excited about having Jeff on. A lot of recruiting news to get into with Jeff on that, including a UGA commitment picked up yesterday, which I actually want to spend a few minutes on before Jeff joins us. So when Jeff's here, we'll do the Broderick Jones stuff, and we'll kind of deal with everything else that's sort of left over from G-Day and the big Georgia recruiting news as we head into the late spring and the summer. That is going to be a lot of fun. Before we get to Jeff's intel, though, let me set up the conversation with him right now. And the fact that if you were paying attention to the draft yesterday, if you're completely focused on all of that, you are going to miss the fact that Georgia did add a 2020 commit. Big offensive tackle named Broderick Jones from Lithonia, Georgia. I think this is an exciting name. I think it's an exciting addition to Georgia's 2020 class here. If you look at him, you know, he's got that good size. He's got, you know, that you know, ability to be, I think, a true offensive tackle here. And that phrase is one of those things you're going to hear a lot. I'm guessing that when Jeff joins the show, he'll say something to that effect over and over again. This is a true tackle. This is a guy that's going to line up on the outside of that Georgia offensive line. And the reason why that's so significant goes back to something that Kirby Smart talked about a couple of weeks ago. During spring practice, he was addressing the movement of some of the Georgia offensive linemen, including Solomon Kinley, kind of sliding over to left tackle, giving Kendall Baker a chance to work at the tackle position. And in the midst of talking about Kinley at the time, Kirby Smart, I think, foreshadowed why a recruit like Broderick Jones is so important for UGA. Kirby described Georgia as being, well, you can hear it for yourself, too many guys at one position, maybe not enough guys at another position. Here is Kirby Smart addressing the offensive line.
The move there that everybody's trying to make a big deal about, we're getting another tackle ready. So we're taking Kendall Baker and allowing him to work at a secondary position, no different than a corner might have to play safety, or a safety might have to play star, you know, or a tackle might have to play guard. I mean, Kendall Baker, we're trying to see, is he our best left tackle? Is he our second best left tackle? Is he our best right tackle? Is he our second best right tackle? And most teams in America are guard heavy. So where we want to do is we want to make sure we've got those edges secure, and that's just allowed us to get Solomon and Ben more reps, along with Trey Hill and Atori and those guys.
So in the midst of describing the state of the current offensive line, talking about being guard heavy, and obviously that's going to be a big priority for recruiting. We're going to hear Jeff Sintel talk a lot in the days ahead about 2019 offensive tackle options, and Georgia addressing that in 2020 right now with Broderick Jones, a guy who I think has a chance to be a really outstanding prospect by the time that 2020 cycle rolls around. We'll do more of that with Jeff Sintel here coming up in a moment on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Before that, though, you know, on a Friday, we always like to look ahead to the weekend for UGA Athletics. everything going on. Busy weekend here once again. Let's check in on our Kroger click list checklist and get you up to date on everything that's happening with UGA Athletics this weekend. The NFL draft round two is tonight. Make sure you check that out. This will be some Georgia names probably going there in round two of the draft, including probably Nick Chubb, maybe Lorenzo Carter, maybe a name or two others. That goes down tonight. A lot of different channels. You can check that out. Rounds three through seven for the draft come up then on Saturday. It's going to be a busy weekend of football with the NFL draft continuing. SEC Men's Golf Championship begins today as we speak here on this Friday. Diamond Dogs host Tennessee for a three-game set, also expected to be today, and this one should truly be a three-game set. I think the weather is expected to be good all weekend there, so hopefully the Diamond Dogs can play Friday, Saturday, Sunday as they've, you know, supposed to be accustomed. Softball also set to be a three-game set, hosting Alabama this weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So busy weekend for UGA Athletics. We bring it to you as a part of our Kroger Click List checklist every Friday. And if you haven't checked out the Kroger Click List, you got to make sure you do that. I say it all the time. For me, it's the easiest, most convenient way to shop for groceries. You just got to go to Kroger.com, find the Kroger nearest you that you can go to for this, and sign up for the click list. You make your order, you drive up, and you know what? You don't even have to get out of your car. The friendly staff from Kroger brings everything right out there to you. It's the Kroger Click List. Check it out. And, of course, check out the Kroger Click List checklist every Friday here on Dog Nation Daily. Glad you're with us. Let's do some more UGA recruiting. Let's talk to Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always fun to have Jeff Sintel on a Friday. And, Jeff, there is a lot I want to get into with you. I want to do some of the draft stuff here in a moment, just based on just how nice a night that was for a UGA. But can we begin with the big news from the recruiting standpoint of the day, if you don't mind? Can we talk about Broderick Jones here for a minute?
Broderick Jones, Brandon, that is a big, silly topic maybe we could talk about here.
Yeah, I like the nickname. I like the nickname. You could just call him Big Silly. To me, that's kind of a cool nickname. I feel like that's the kind of thing that could really have some legs there at Georgia with a lot of Georgia fans. Big Silly is a nickname. I don't mind that.
6'6", 300 pounds. The man, he's in this rare club, Brandon. I want every one of our listeners and viewers to think about this. He is 16 years old. And with a shoe size that is larger than his age. Very impressive. Sam Pittman has told him that the way that things work out, you know, Andrew Thomas, the prototype left tackle for Georgia, 2017, 2018, he's trending to be a 2019, his final year in Georgia type guy. Everybody can knock on wood if they want to. But the 2020 NFL draft conveniently would intersect with Broderick Jones and his first year at Georgia.
I wonder where you get a size 17 shoe. I wonder where you get one of those. They sell those at Walters in downtown Atlanta. I don't even know. I mean, that's a pretty big shoe right there, is it not?
It's funny, and you know, people will read this on Dog Nation later on this week, that gentleman was the hardest working kid in high school football. Get this, he was the nation's number 35 overall prospect, and he was being cross trained because Lithonia had so many tackles and big uglies last year. They put him on at tight end, and he wore number 88. So a few weeks out of the season, Brandon, this just boggles my mind, man. A kid this big and this good. He played two quarters of JV football in order to get acclimated to playing tight end. Then he would play four quarters on Friday, and he would also play both ways. He would play tight end, and he would play defensive end. He had 9 sacks and 24 tackles for losses. This kid is a 4-star offensive tackle, though, dripping with 5-star potential. I think, Brandon, when it's all said and done, Broderick Jones will be a top 15 player in the class of 2020 and a top 3 offensive tackle.
Yeah, that's what I really wanted to ask you about. You wrote something to that effect at Dog Nation this week, and it really got my attention. Based on those rankings and criteria and what you also wrote, it sounds like you think there's a 5-star future, Mr. Jones, pathway here.
Clearly, I'm just going to go apples to apples. And, Brandon, I can't remember the last young offensive tackle I've seen that looks as good, at least the last 5 years, that looks as good on the hoof, that moves as well, balance, patience, sense of understanding of the position already. He was the top performer at the Under Armour, underclassman at the Under Armour All-American Camp last Sunday in Roswell. Bright future, already been invited to the Future 50 by Under Armour. He's the type of kid, I'm just going to say it, at this age, he looks every bit as impressive, if not more so, than one Andrew Thomas.
So let me go back to where I started the show here today. I thought last night was a great commercial for UGA. I told the audience, Jeff, I don't always watch every minute of the NFL draft. I was glued to the set last night. So excited for Roquan in Chicago. I think that's a great city for him to live in. I think the Patriots is a home for Isaiah Wynn and Sonny Michel. Speaks well of, you know, what they may be able to do at the NFL level. And I think you'll agree with me what NFL analyst Chase Goodbread said on yesterday's show, that this really does help your recruiting efforts, right? When you put that many guys into the first round and there'll be, you know, Georgia guys going all weekend long, you can't help but to get some authentic attention for that, right?
Well, Brandon, that's good, and that's good in the old school way, but also in the new four-dimension social media way. Here's what Georgia did that really took it to another level. They had their social media team there with Roquan Smith. They had Glenn Schumann there with Roquan Smith, his position coach, not just the head coach, Kirby Smart. And then they also had social media, Instagram stuff. Glenn Schumann had an Instagram story of hanging out with Roquan, him and his wife in Chicago on draft day. And then they were plastered all over social media and tweets. There's a webisode, an episode with Roquan. And don't think that's the way to connect with the recruits of the day. Not on a big top, box top, tabletop, wall side TV. It's on the phone, it's on the laptop, and it's on the tablet. And a lot of good things were happening for Georgia. A lot of impressionable inside linebacker targets probably saw something like that. And in a very close decision, Brandon, when you start factoring in G-Days, you start factoring in NFL draft, the Palooza party, that's a good commercial, like you said, for Georgia, but it's even more than that. It's unexplainable what type of work that can put on a recruiting effort for the program going forward. And to your earlier point, Brandon, I kind of scratched my head at the end of the first round. I was sitting there scratching my head like, I wonder what Dog Nation would do if Chicago played New England. Which team are they going to root for in that one if that was ever a Super Bowl or a regular season matchup? Because those are going to be some splitting hairs and divided loyalties there.
Yeah, rematch of Super Bowl 20 could get a lot of UGA fans divided. And real quickly on this subject, I even thought it was great, and I think you may have mentioned this, that Frank Ragnow, the Arkansas offensive lineman who got drafted, invited Sam Pittman to be a part of that. So in a roundabout way, Georgia gets, you know, the chance to take credit here for another drafted player, not like Tennessee, who sort of, you know, bootlegged a bunch of names on Twitter this week, but Pittman actually invited to be a part of a Ragnow celebration. Georgia gets to even sort of glom onto that here a little bit.
Yeah, that's a lot of guys that have kept ties to the coaching staff to put to their credit. But, you know, and it's something. I mean, you saw a tweet from Jamari Salyer this morning thanking and congratulating Isaiah Wynn. And he also pointed out that says, thanks for paving the way and showing the way and being the first of us. There's a lot of Georgia players, signees, whatever you might call them, that are really looking forward to draft day. For football players, NFL draft day is a huge momentum and inspiration day, especially those in the college ranks.
We're paying attention to the 2020 class this week because of Broderick Jones. Plus, it's just sort of time to start thinking about 2020 here a little bit anyway. And I thought you had some great quotes from a 2020 UGA commit this week and as your Stackhouse. And, Jeff, I guess I'm sort of thinking we don't talk enough about this guy right now when you and I get together. That's on me. I'm not asking enough questions about him because – I think that, A, he proved once again this week just how much fondness he has for Georgia, and he has that size that Georgia's lacking right now at that defensive line position. Now, you'll have to wait a couple recruiting cycles for him to get here, but Stackhouse is a pretty good prospect for Georgia for that class of 2020, is he not?
Brandon, I guess you guys should all – everybody should always remember Stackhouse as the SEC championship game commitment when basically the turn – that Georgia football kind of went into overdrive in terms of momentum. They had a lot of huge things going on there, and Stackhouse is about 6'3 and a half, 297, 298. He was somebody that other schools have already come after him. He says that Alabama comes after him the hardest, along with big schools like LSU and FSU and Clemson, but he says he's still very solidly to the G, solidly committed to Georgia. Location is a factor here, Brandon, all things being equal. Location will still weigh heavily on his mind, but he really wants to go somewhere that he will win. Winning is important to him, and he sees everything that's happening with the Georgia program and still feels fulfilled that he's made the right decision.
I joked on the show the other day that I was mad at you because I didn't really know that much about Kyle Hamilton until you started talking him up. Then when you started talking him up, I got excited about him, and then he commits to Notre Dame, and all of a sudden now I'm a little bit disappointed. But it sounds like you think that recruitment's going to be ongoing here, but it also sounds like it's about time for us to start getting acquainted with Lewis Sign, another big-time safety prospect who was at G-Day, seems to be impressed with what he saw, and seems to be one of those names destined for a lot more stardom by the end of the summer than maybe he has here somewhat at the beginning of the spring.
Yeah, Lewis is a good kid. He wears number 16, and that's in honor of his mother who had him when she was 16 years old. That's just as a salute to her trials and her triumphs and maybe raising him up under a difficult life, difficult circumstances. But I will backpedal and do a speed turn a little bit to Kyle Hamilton because I want to make sure the narrative is very fresh in everyone's mind because somebody says, three-star, trending to Notre Dame, Georgia, you really wasn't that heavy on him. Don't believe any of that hogwash for a second. I know for a fact that Hamilton was very valued by the Georgia staff. They even attached some priority members of the program to talk to him and speak to him on that last unofficial visit. Also, if anybody was at G-Day early, they saw all those priority alpha targets at the beginning of the day, beginning of the game, that just somehow got the chance to bump into Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and that was big. There was a lot of hee-hawing, and there's a lot of brotherhood trying to be established right there. And Cal Hamilton, 38 CT, tremendous player, just seriously undervalued. Kirby Smart saw the film and shut it off after the first few plays. 6'4", 188, very physical, lots of length, very instinctive. John Fitzpatrick was in his ear all the time. That was the guy Georgia really wanted, but now the transition is to a guy like Lewis Sign, and Lewis Sign is a connected dude. This was sort of like ties and 6 degrees of recruit separation. You wouldn't need a whole lot with Lewis Sign because Lewis Sign plays on the same team, is very close with Shiloh Sanders. That's okay. The Deion Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, who just got picked up an offer from Georgia earlier this month, and he was blown away. Bouncing off the walls at G-Day, he was so excited. He's also connected to E.J. Smith, that's Emmett Smith's son as well, under that famous father, Bulldog potential bloodline storyline from G-Day. Lewis Sign also is about 6'2.5", about 185 pounds, times in the 4.4s, a little bit faster than Kyle Hamilton. And Nolan Smith, all those other guys are already talking to Lewis on social media because they want to play with that guy too.
So when I'm reading you this week, and I'm getting a lot of these quotes from these various recruits, the one theme I see keep coming up over and over again, and this is not a surprise, but pretty clearly the $83,000 in the building on Saturday, that resonated with a lot of people. It probably resonated with Jay Hayes, the grad transfer ends up choosing Georgia this week, some of the other guys who won't, you know, make their decisions official for maybe even a couple more months. There was some attention garnered by the full house at Sanford Stadium on Saturday that seems to really heavily resonate, at least reading the Centel Intel. That's the takeaway that I get.
There was, Brandon. And, you know, when I do the work I do, I always try to write for my readers. And in one of those updates, the Cortez Andrews update, I tried to write a little bit there for one specific reader that I know likes to hear comparisons between the Florida Gators and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Don't think I didn't notice. I'm gonna let you tell the story. I'm gonna let you finish, to quote Kanye. But don't think I didn't notice this.
Oh, Brandon, now you've got me intrigued, man. I want you to give me what's going through your head when you're reading about Cortez Andrews saying there was no comparison to the Florida spring game and the Georgia spring game.
I love to hear that. I also love to hear what he had to say about Trey Sanders, kind of feeling the same way. I think I'm going to describe it correctly, that he said he saw Sanders kind of dancing in the stands a little bit in Athens, said he didn't see the same kind of energy from him in Gainesville. And I said when it comes to both Cortez and Trey, that's a couple of recruits after my own heart right there. If they're liking Athens better than Gainesville, then I like plenty about them. And I like them already as prospects, but I like them even more now.
Well, I think, Brandon, that, you know, here in our work, everybody, like anybody's work, they strive for us to be more efficient, to do more with less, to try to find a way to do multitasking and crank out as many storylines or, in our business, branches of storylines off of one interview. Well, I know Cortez Andrews is a very good player. He's an Alabama legacy. Brandon, he's probably got 19 members of his family that have played big-time college football. It sort of sounds like that is
His dad played at Alabama. He's got an uncle that played at North Carolina. He's got another relative that played at Florida State. His high school coach played in the NFL and played at Florida State. He is a big, versatile, in-the-box, stumper-type safety, 6 feet, 206 pounds. He's lost a little weight, so he's getting away from that outside linebacker conversation now. But him and Trey Sanders are boys. They take a lot of visits together. They've been to Georgia together a lot. So I was keenly interested when I wanted to know how he felt Trey Sanders may or may not have enjoyed himself at Georgia. And really, when I started lining up my coverage last week, I wanted to get Trey Sanders' thoughts first, and then I had to come back with maybe another witness to what Trey Sanders was feeling. And I thought, you know, Cortez Andrews may be coming for your job one day, Brandon.
Yeah.
He wants to be in communications. He wants to study. He wants to be a sports broadcaster. And, man, he can spin a yarn and add a lot of details. He loved everything about Georgia. He was actually visualizing himself on that crowd, in those stands, in front of that crowd. And sometimes, Brandon, he did keep it real, though. He said, oh, that's great. Great vibe, great atmosphere, really great, outstanding show of support from the fans. But then he said the main thing is relationships and playing style. And he said Kirby always asks him about his family. He knows Mel Tucker gets his guys into the league and coaches them up right. And those are things that are at the core of every decision that allow the pomp and circumstance and the aura and the vibe and the hype of G-Day to kind of flow forth and kind of serve as like that whipped cream on top of the sundae.
All right. I think it's really interesting, Jeff, and I thought it was great reporting from you at Dog Nation this week. Before we let you go, and the producers don't like it when we go off script here, but I do want to squeeze in a couple of quick issues that I'm seeing in the comments section before we say goodbye to you. Let me start with this. Tuesday is obviously the new Cinco de Popo. It got moved up from the original May 5th date to May 1st. Anything we need to know about Papo ahead of the May 1st decision here? I'm getting a lot of questions about that on Facebook Live right now from people watching the show. My confidence on Papo is actually a lot higher than it was a couple of weeks ago. Anything we need to know ahead of May 1st here?
What I know, Brandon, here is it is very close, and I don't know if it's being manufactured to be made close for some sort of drama coming up to the announcement. That's something that I do not know for sure. But I do know that when you look at Owen Papo, nation's number one linebacker, class of 2019, he's been offered by Georgia since June of 2015. So there is a lot to think about there, and he's going to make his decision with the Grayson Four. He was at Penn State last week for an official. He was at LSU earlier this month for an official. He's at Texas this weekend for an official visit. I think those are good vacation pleasure trips there for Owen Papo. It will come down to Georgia and Auburn, and I know Bulldog fans will be keenly aware to see what's happening there from Sports and Social near SunTrust Park in Atlanta. He'll probably be the biggest young prospect being talked about around SunTrust since that Acuna guy, and Dog Nation and SEC Country will be all over that.
And then real quickly before we say goodbye, I thought the Jay Hayes addition was big for Georgia. We've talked about that here on our program over the last couple of days. Your thoughts on a guy that was also apparently pretty impressed by the G-Day visit here?
Yeah, when we look at Jay Hayes, I think the big picture there is it's part of a really full week, Brandon, for Georgia recruiting. You don't get a lot of this. You've got the draft stuff there, which is very impressive, but you've got a transfer out in Patrick Allen. You've got another transfer out in Jaleel LeGuinn. You've got a transfer in, which is what Kirby does, in the midseason after he has additional signing days where he has additions to the roster and Jay Hayes. But you have the ebb and flow of the roster. They can only have 85 guys on scholarship. They still have a boatload of those 26 signees coming in, and somebody's got to make room at the end for all of those guys. And Jay Hayes, I don't know if people understand this. He was a recruit in the class of 2012. He graduates from Notre Dame. He was a starter for Notre Dame, and Georgia's got to find somebody with that run-stopping ability to replace some of those things that Trenton Thompson did, and he played very well against Georgia. I think on first and second down, you're going to see Jay Hayes in that mix a lot for the University of Georgia in 2018.
Jeff, really good stuff. Thanks for your time here today on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll look forward to reading a whole bunch from you between now and May 1st and the Owen Papo decision day, and I'm sure it'll be an exciting spring and summer here for UGA on the recruiting trail as well. Plenty of surprises coming from you at DogNation.com, and we'll enjoy talking to you all about it right here.
Brandon, it should be a busy upcoming week for all things Georgia recruiting.
Looking forward to it.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Jeff Sintel. He kind of foreshadows it there. Busy time coming up for UGA recruiting. I think a lot of it's going to be good news. Momentum for the program coming off the NFL draft from last night and G-Day and really everything else. And I think the program's getting ready to reap some rewards. You know, it never really bothered me that Georgia didn't have that commitment haul on G-Day day the way that, say, Alabama did. I guess Bama got, what, four commitments coming off its A-Day event. You know, Georgia now, you'll count Jay Hayes as a G-Day commitment. And, you know, maybe you say Broderick Jones is somewhat influenced by that. But overall, I think you saw what was in place last year, that some of this stuff is just sort of a slow topple of dominoes. 2018 class kind of played its way out that way. I have no doubt that the 2019 class will look much the same way. And I'm going to be clear. I've got confidence now for Georgia in the Papo decision, but I have also been wrong before. But for now, I'm feeling a little bit better about that on the Georgia side of things. We will see how that plays itself out there on Tuesday. Don't forget SEC Country going to have live coverage of both Papo and all the other, as Jeff just called them, the Grayson Four. We're going to do all of that for you on Tuesday on SEC Country. So the same way we do this show on the Dog Nation video channels, the SEC Country video channels, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, the same place you check out SEC Country Live. You can also check out our live coverage of the Grayson Four on Tuesday as we find out where Owen Papo is truly headed, at least for now, for the class of 2019. For now, though, let's turn our attention back to the draft. And a big night for Georgia, but also a big night for the rest of the SEC as well. If I've counted correct, it's a total of 9 players from the SEC taken in the first round last night. And a lot of Bama guys. You had Minka Fitzpatrick going to Miami. I think Minka's a really good player. I think he fits the modern version of the NFL here. NFL defenses seem to be getting smaller. And, you know, Minka's an example of that. He's sort of a safety that sort of looks like a cornerback. You know, he fits that. A lot of what you see on first and second down in the NFL is really pretty similar to what, you know, college football, you know, does with some of the spread stuff. I mean, you know, you watch the Philadelphia Eagles, for instance. You know, when they are fully healthy, full complement of talent, they're essentially a spread offense almost. You need quick, thin, you know, lean players to be able to defend against that. That's what Minka Fitzpatrick provides. Daron Payne's the exact opposite of that. He goes to Washington 13. Obviously, Payne was tough on Georgia in the national championship game. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure he'll have a good NFL career. Frank Ragnow goes 20th overall, the Arkansas offensive lineman to Detroit. I'm sure Matthew Stafford, that put a smile on his face to see Ragnow come his way, and it was kind of nice to see Sam Pittman there with the Ragnow family celebrating there on that. Arkansas needs more good offensive linemen. There's not another Ragnow in the pipeline for the Razorbacks right now, but he does go on to the NFL. Hayden Hurst, 25, to Baltimore, and this is one of those picks that really got a lot of praise from some of the folks online. I guess Baltimore moved back twice, so that means they're acquiring picks. Needed a tight end badly, get the best one in the draft, and, you know, come away with some more picks forward. I'm sure they probably also use some of those to kind of get back in and draft Lamar Jackson later on. I'm curious if Georgia fans feel the same way about Hurst that I do. I thought that Hurst was one of the most impressive players when you saw him in person that Georgia played all year long for the 2017 season. This is a guy that going into the week of the South Carolina game, you thought of him as a weapon, but on the field there that day, I felt like Hurst was way more difficult to defend than I expected him to be. This is a guy that in person comes across as a very big tight end. And, I mean, listen, I'm biased based on the one time that I saw him in person, but, you know, I'd be surprised if Hurst doesn't have a pretty good NFL career. Just, I mean, he gave Georgia some trouble there that day, and that Georgia defense, as you know, is pretty good. We are in Atlanta doing this show. It's relevant to us who the Falcons pick. Calvin Ridley is the pick there, obviously the brother of Riley Ridley. I think this is a good pick for the Falcons. I think that you gave a franchise quarterback another weapon. I said this on the radio this morning that, you know, New Orleans, Carolina, Tampa, the division rivals of the Falcons, they're not happy about seeing Ridley in Atlanta. I can say that. Taven Bryan goes to Jacksonville. The Florida guy stays in state with the Jaguars there. Total of 9 first-rounders from the SEC taking the first round. Another dominance for the conference. Second round, of course, today. Nick Chubb, Lorenzo Carter still waiting to find out where their NFL home would be. I would guess there's a really good chance that both these guys are taken relatively early in the second round. At least there, I think there's a good chance of that. I'm on the record as saying that I think that Nick Chubb is underrated, as maybe even in comparison to Sonny Michel a little bit. I think that Chubb could have a terrific career. In addition to Lorenzo, you've also got, you know, the LSU guys out there, Darius Geis, Dante Jackson, DJ Chark. You got Braden Smith, the Auburn offensive lineman. He's kind of out there right now. I think that Christian Kirk, the Texas A&M wide receiver, is kind of an interesting prospect. As a receiver, he's got some value. As a kick returner, he's got a lot more value. But you start to wonder, are kick returns going to be a part of the future of pro football? And if they're not, then does that change the way that you feel a bit about Christian Kirk? I think that's probably a question worth asking. Let me also, before we wrap up our SEC through, mention one more non-draft-related piece of news. It looks like, according to the Detroit News, Shea Patterson, the former Ole Miss quarterback, is going to win his appeal and become immediately eligible for Michigan. I think this is an interesting story because this is the kind of quarterback Michigan has not had since Jim Harbaugh has been there. This probably makes Michigan, you know, better on the field here, and it's a little bit of a rebuke against Ole Miss that tried to fight against Patterson's claim that he ought to be eligible right away. This is also, believe it or not, somewhat relevant for Georgia fans, given the fact that Patterson's argument here is going to be fairly similar to the argument made by Van Jefferson as well in terms of gaining that immediate eligibility there at Florida. So kind of an interesting scenario when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it looks like Shea Patterson is going to be eligible right away here for the Michigan Wolverines, at least according to a report from the Detroit News. We'll make that your SEC through. Great stuff with Jeff Sintel here a little earlier on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, talking about Broderick Jones, the 2020 offensive lineman that Georgia brought in. Obviously, the big claim there from Jeff, and this is going to get a lot of attention, is the fact that by the time that recruiting cycle fully takes shape, the time that Jones has been fully evaluated by all the, you know, the tastemakers in the recruiting business, he thinks that Jones has a chance to be a five-star player among the top tackles in the country for the class of 2020. That's good news for Georgia. And I thought Jeff did a great job reporting on this by going to Lithonia High School with Broderick Jones in person, doing a great interview with him. Now, if you go to the Dog Nation video channels, the same way that you're watching this show right now, especially the YouTube and the Facebook feed, you ought to also be able to see what Jeff did with Broderick Jones. This is a great interview, definitely worth watching. I want to give you a quick taste of some of what Jones had to say here, though, in hopes that you'll check out the rest of the full interview. First of all, Broderick Jones, the 2020 commit from Lithonia, explains why it was that he chose UGA.
It's an amazing feeling that I can take in and hold on to because I love the way the coaches treat me, my family, and my coaching staff from the school.
I think that what Broderick Jones says there is so relevant given the week that we've just been through, where you see a lot of programs trying a lot of gimmicks when it comes to recruits. I think about Tennessee in particular here, who wants to blast out on Twitter, hey, there are 90 current NFL players that were coached by guys that are now coaching on the Tennessee staff. That seems like a gimmick recruiting tactic. You know, I think the Bama barbershop thing that we've talked about some this spring is a gimmick recruiting tactic. But you hear from Broderick Jones what the name of the game is. It's not some sort of sleek, shiny, you know, social media edit or clever video. It's just relationships. When I meet with these guys, do I feel good about them? Do they feel like people I want to spend time with over the next 3 to 4 years? Do my parents have a sense of trust in them in terms of the, you know, you're giving your child, even if it's a big 300-pounder, it's still your child, and that 300-pounder was a little baby at one point in time. You're giving that person over to somebody else to have care and watch over for 3 to 4 years. Does this feel like the kind of coaching staff I can trust with my son? Well, for Broderick Jones, he says that was something that Georgia definitely checked off for him. Sam Pittman in particular here, and this is fascinating. Jones saying what it was like meeting Sam Pittman for the first time. And in the description you get from Jones gives you another indication for why Pittman is just such a top flight recruiter. Take a listen.
Okay, the first time I went to Georgia and I saw Sam Pittman, I gave him a big old hug. I just wanted to build a relationship with him. I just wanted to be able to build a relationship with him, and I wanted to know who I am as a person and how I do things.
That right there is why Sam Pittman keeps getting raises, and that right there is why Sam Pittman is viewed as among the shortest of short list elite position coach in all of college football, because the first time a soon-to-be five-star offensive lineman met him, he wanted to give him a hug. Now, Pittman's no slight guy himself. Can you imagine big old Sam Pittman, 300-pound, 16-year-old Broderick Jones embracing an A hug? Well, that's the kind of relationship that Sam Pittman creates with his recruits, and it's paying off for him again for the class of 2020. Georgia has a needed offensive tackle. It's meeting that here for the class of 2020 with Jones, and I would expect you got some more good news coming the way of the class of 2020 here pretty soon. All right, let's get ready to wrap up the program. First of all, let me remind you, we are brought to you today by Marco's Pizza, and if you haven't checked out the Big Cheese yet, you need to make sure you do that. It is the boss of all cheese pizzas. I love the way they say that. Five cheeses blended, melted together on that authentic Italian crust right now for a limited time only. You can get the extra large for just $10.99, but you got to act right now. The Big Cheese at Marco's. Go to Marco's.com to find the Marco's closest to you. And as Jeff Sintel mentioned, you love the idea of Georgia recruits having more fun in Athens than they had in Gainesville, smiling and dancing and enjoying themselves in Sanford Stadium in a way they were not able to during the Swamp. That obviously puts a big smile on our face here on Dog Nation Daily. And as a reminder of that, we do the Gatorator Countdown every single day on our program. And 183 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville. We think they beat Florida again. Eddie loves it, I love it, and we're glad you love it too. Gatorator Countdown every single day. We'll see you Monday.